I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Sports Saturday. Touchdown! Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte.
On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM
and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in. Cougar Sports Saturday here on your legacy home of the BYU Cougars, KSL News Radio. You can text us, UCCU KSL text line 57500. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, taking you through your holiday weekend all the way up to 3 o'clock. BYU basketball going to be taking over the airwaves this evening. 7 o'clock tip. Pre-game coverage begins at 6 as BYU gets ready to take on Utah Valley University. We've got David Nixon coming up in hour number 2, and then Mark Durant to talk about the Hoops team in hour number 3. But we're still talking about this playoff hit job, as I like to say, Matt. This hit job that the playoff committee gave BYU and the Pac-12 and Washington. The slander. The hits to BYU's fine name. And we're asking Cougar fans, where should BYU football have been ranked in the initial college football playoff rankings? They were slotted at number 14. Where would you have placed them? You can text us 57500 and share your thoughts, or also tweet at us at KSL Sports. So, Matt, where would you have put BYU?
I'm with Chandler White, who said, I think 11 or 12 is fair, given our strength of schedule. To be behind some of these two-loss teams is ridiculous. I would have put the 9 to 12, probably 9 or 10. I think that would have been fair, where they're squarely in New York in New Year's 6 discussion and not really an opportunity to get to the college football playoff. But that's fine with me. But, yeah, 9 to 12. What about you, Mitch?
I would have put them at number 6. They should have been in the top 6. They should have been at number 6. This is how it should have gone. It should have been number 1, Alabama, fine. That they are the number 1 team, clear cut. 2, at Notre Dame, fine. Again, that was spot on by the committee. 3 should have been Ohio State. 4,
no,
Clemson.
Ohio State does not belong in the top 4. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off, but they do not belong in the top 4. No way.
I'd still put them at
That's bullcrap. That's
at, that goes, at this point.
They haven't beaten point, anybody. They bet Indiana's struggling with Maryland. Their strength of schedule is just as bad as BYU's. How are they 3 with that strength of schedule and a worse win than BYU's at Boise State and number 3? I can't get behind that.
Ohio State's talent is far superior than Clemson.
That's exactly the problem with college football. You're saying the name of their talent, their play on the field doesn't warrant it.
Clemson, the way they looked against Notre Dame without some of their key players, they don't have the pass rush like they have in years past. That's why I would put them at 4. Number 5, I'd have Florida, and then number 6,
Florida is
BYU.
Better than Ohio State, and they have a much better resume than Ohio State. I'm sick. You were just ripping the system, and then you put Ohio State at 3.
Yes, Ohio State's talent is far superior pretty much than anyone else.
I don't give a rip how talented they are. They've got to do it on the field.
I understand, and that's why with them getting canceled today or this weekend.
They'll probably move up. They'll probably be number 2.
No, they're going to fall out. Like, they're going to fall out, I have a feeling, because you can't just have 4 games. But I'm saying what it should have been on Tuesday, that's how I would have sliced it, and I would have put BYU at 6. Because this BYU team, they're better than Cincinnati. BYU's offense is more explosive.
You're telling me you don't like Cincinnati's phenomenal win against SMU early in the year?
No, I don't. And SMU's getting rolled right now by East Carolina. Last I checked, it was 42-7.
It's 42-25. They're making it respectable, so that's probably enough to bump them up a spot.
But, yeah, I would have put BYU at 6 just because, again, you look at advanced numbers like Pro Football Focus. They got BYU as the number one offense in college football. They got them number 9 defense in college football. Point to me where the flaw is in BYU, because at the end of the day, the playoff is meant to get the 4 best teams, and I don't think BYU's in top 4, but I think that they should have been knocking on the door at that 6th spot, and you know, because I think that BYU deserved to be there to this point. And also, too, playing 9 games.
Yes.
That's quite an accomplishment in the pandemic. And even if it's against North Alabama, these directional schools, whatever you want to call them, that's quite an accomplishment, too. And BYU has crushed every single team that they've played. They're better than Northwestern. They're better than Georgia. They're a heck of a lot better than Miami. You know, BYU and Oklahoma, BYU would probably be an underdog, but to this point, I would say BYU is better because they haven't lost 2 games. Oklahoma lost 2 games. And BYU had the, like, BYU put it out there to Big 12 and the Oklahoma say, hey, let's play. Nope, Oklahoma instead played Missouri State non-conference. So it's like, I would have put BYU at number 6 in this opening poll. That's where I would have put them. And then you could have made the case, hey, we're going to drop you because other teams are playing. You're not. They're getting better wins. That's fine. But in the starting position, I think BYU deserved to be at number 6.
Yeah. I would have went a little lower, but I'm really just flabbergasted at your Ohio State thing. I'm with you. They're one of the most talented teams in the country, but you've got to play enough games, and you got to have some meaningful wins. And Indiana is a nice win, but I will fight tooth and nail that Boise State on the road is a better win than Indiana at this point.
How far would you drop Ohio State, though? I mean, because
I would have had them at 5 or 6. Not far. I mean, with a few more games, I would have moved them into the top 4. But up to this point, Clemson's played more games. Notre Dame's played more games. Florida's played more games. Texas A&M beat Florida. I just don't see how you can make that case. They're getting the benefit of the doubt for having Justin Fields and being Ohio State. And if we want college football to stop being ridiculous, in your words, one of the most ridiculous sports that we have professionally or collegiately, we got to stop this stuff where it's, oh, well, Ohio State's talented. Let's put them at 3. Well, let's put them at 3 when they earn it because they are talented, but they've got to earn it. And up to this point, they haven't done it versus the teams at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I have a problem with that.
They were up 42-7 on Indiana, and then Indiana got back in. I mean, I just think that you put Ohio State on a neutral field against pretty much anyone, they're going to be
agreed. But we got to get away from that. We got to get back to proof. That's the problem that's happened with BYU. They have proven it on the field 9 times, but they're falling short to the name brands. And if we want college football to be more fair, which I think we all do, we got to stop this stuff. With Ohio State, they've got to earn it. And in 2020, they haven't done it yet. Not ahead of Texas A&M.
The thing, I look at college football this year, and I think that this sport has become incredibly top-heavy. Like, there's just – I just think that this sport has become – it's got Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and then everyone else, it's pretty much a significant drop. Like, Notre Dame's coming into the mix. They're doing a nice job, and they're a good football team. But really, I look at the quality of play in college football, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, we're about 10 years now into this all realignment stuff and the playoff and all this going on. I just feel like, has the sport gotten better with all these changes that have happened? I don't think it has.
No.
I mean, we said over the summer, we were talking in this kind of – when we were in quarantine life, and we're still kind of to an extent are, but, you know, when we were – in the thick of no sports in the summertime, we kind of posed, like, how would we change college football if we were the commissioner? I said kind of a crazy thought. I would have said, go back to the BCS because –
Bring
you know
back
what?
The computers. Honestly, they're unbiased.
Thank you, because the computers, the two worst words for BYU sports, selection committee.
Yes.
We see it all the time. Basketball always gets a lower seed than expected. The baseball team, Mike Littlewood squad, they can win the West Coast Conference, but nope, you don't play on Sunday, so you're not going to get into the at-large bid. Women's soccer, you go undefeated. You're going to get in the toughest quadrant with Stanford because our championship is on a Sunday. We don't want to change the date for BYU. I'm telling you. let computers, let data drive this thing, because in this year where BYU analytically is phenomenal,
yeah,
they would have been like 6, 7, or 8.
Totally.
They would have been high. But because of a selection committee and biases coming into play, because you know that they do. You know, they say that, like they're doing everything they can to be fair. The human element comes in. And I wonder, too, and I think Urban Meyer made a good point today. We played some of his sound earlier. Who's like the prominent voice in the room that knows how to break down film and is sizing up BYU? The two coaches on that staff, on the committee, are R.C. Slocum, who hasn't coached, what, since the mid-90s when BYU was crushing him in 96 with Steve Sarkisian, and Ken Hatfield when he was at Rice, a triple option coach. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
These guys have been out of the game for a long time. Like, who are the voices in that committee that are leading the conversation? That would be fascinating. I would be okay with this selection committee process if simply we had a microphone and a camera documenting the conversation. That, to me,
yes,
would be more fascinating than the reveal of the top 25.
Agreed.
Seeing how they discuss BYU and then kind of getting more context as to why they put together 14. They come out and say, oh, strength of schedule. That's the canned line that they've given for BYU for the last 30, 40 years. Give something new, because BYU has always been willing to play anyone and anywhere.
It doesn't matter, as I documented earlier.
Just always say strength of schedule. It's like, holy cow, like, give us something different here. Let's hear a different agenda, because BYU is always willing to play.
Yeah, and it's just, we're starting to beat a dead horse, but it's especially frustrating.
Oh, it's not a dead horse, man. We will ride this horse. We are going to bring change to college football. I'm going to wear a headband that says anytime, anywhere, any place, I will bring change to college football.
It's just especially frustrating in a pandemic year when the eye test is what's supposed to matter most. That strength of schedule comes up. All right, got to take a break. We're going to continue this discussion. And then at 1, David Nixon, former BYU player, will come on and give us his take on BYU's spot in the rankings and some Taysom talk. Some positivity. I can't wait to get to it. Taysom Hill will break down his first start. We'll be back after this.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.